Hello, and welcome to College Football Today Radio. Today, we're going to talk about Colin Cowherd, Stephen A. Smith, all them guys that just have no clue what they're talking about when they get on air. And most of the reason we started College Football Today was so I could teach my athletes at Scout Trout, you know, kind of what's right and what's wrong, because I'll get a lot of so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And so-and-so has no background or credentials, playing experience, coaching experience, anything, nothing to back up their statements. Oh. Colin Cowherd is a piece of crap when it comes to, so is Stephen A. Smith. Most of ESPN writers and people that put their stuff out there is just something that ESPN gave them to talk about that day. It's a topic that they had to talk about. They have to cover all these different sports. They have no clue what they're talking about when it came to Baker Mayfield. His performance against the Giants was spectacular, in my opinion, for a first preseason game. Your first time working with your wide receivers in a game situation. It looked great.
He got into technique. He got into stuff that football coaches would know way more about.
Well,
than,
he was just saying because he read a bunch of. He wasn't even talking about technique. He was just reading off a little piece of paper that says, "Here's some stats. I know you didn't watch the game or really analyze it at all, but here's the stats. All right, talk about this and then move on to the next subject."
Yeah, he just well, what I've learned is the last two things I've watched ESPN come out with were attacks. Plain and simple, they were attacks on players. And it kind of goes along with what our country's doing right now. Every time I look at my daggum feed on one of my articles, I see a stand or sit. Who do you vote for? Click on this. And that's all I see ESPN doing. Attacking people. Trying to divide, trying to talk crap on guys that got drafted first overall. I'm sorry, Colin Cowherd, you didn't get drafted first overall in the NFL draft like you wished when you were a kid. I've heard you say this stuff before. I wish I could do this. I wish I was that big. I wish it. Stop talking crap on a guy who was 6 foot and made it. Like I said, let's get into what Baker did great. He reminds me of a Doug Flutie / Drew Brees. He has the escapability of a Flutie. He has a quick release like a Brees. Gets it out fast. It looked like it was coming hot, traveling from point A to point B with tremendous velocity, quickness. It got there fast. The defensive backs don't have enough time to react. Little things like that, people don't see. They just see completions, incompletions, all this crap. We're back to imagine. And the layoffs at ESPN, you know, came from a lot of people not being prepared, not having the credentials, as a lot of the guys that got to stay at ESPN, like Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Kirk Herbstreit, even. There's a list of guys that go on and on and on that are some of the best, were some of the best players in the game, and now are some of the best commentators and analysts of collegiate and college football, and NFL football. Because then once you start creeping up into the draft, you start having to deal with these Todd McShays and these, I don't even know the other, Mel Kiper. I don't think they've made one prediction right the past 10 years. I think it's just to fire the fans up, fire the people up, get them going, riled up about certain subjects instead of actually reporting the facts and, you know, about players. Besides how tall and how much they weigh and how what they ran a 40 in, they never really break it down to, you know, the really detailed stuff that teams like the New England Patriots, who Colin Cowherd, you know, mentioned in his rant, that do things detail oriented and process. They have a daily process every day, and they don't break it. And once it gets broken, you know, they can tell things start to, you know, not work the same way as they did before. You know, I've dealt with that a lot myself in this business on how all the different wheels and mechanisms that we use to get our players seen A lot of people, I can't really have people work with me or for me because they don't understand any of it. I have not had one person that's understood it all from point A to point Z yet. And it's frustrating to a point, but at the same time, I realized that I built this over a course of 12 years playing at a very, very high level. And my father playing, you know, as long as he did the NFL for the Cowboys, Steelers, and USFL Stars with Jim Mora. So our credentials, when you have these kind of credentials and the resume goes way further than anyone else's, then you can say these sort of things. You know, you can put people in their place when they're not understanding quarterback play. That's really what it comes down to. It has nothing else to do with anything else besides Colin Cowherd has no clue how to play quarterback. No clue. When he was talking about, he was looking down a little stat sheet and spitting out stats. So I found every play in the New York Giant game that Baker Mayfield was in the game, incompletions, completions, everything the young man did, scrambling out of bounds, getting first downs, looking small, as Colin Cowherd said. You know what? Sometimes small and flight-footed is way better than a big lug sitting in the pocket like Brock Osweiler, who got cut from the Cleveland Browns, cut from the Broncos. He's been cut from everywhere he's gone because he can't move. He's stagnant. It's the same philosophy in life when you want to put it down to it. If you stay stagnant in the same place for too long, you're just going to be complacent and stay there. So if you keep moving forward and keep progressing and getting better each day and develop that daily process, then, you know, things start to all come together. Of course, there's going to be monkey wrenches thrown in there from time to time that you're going to have to deal with. That's going to knock you off course a little bit, but always know how to wrap yourself back together and get back on it. Because, you know, there's another person out there, another person writing, another person lifting, another person that's hitting the hills this morning that you didn't because you wanted to sleep in. Those are the guys that are making it, not you. So it's a very competitive, cutthroat world, football. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And that saying goes very far in football when you get to it. I've had some of my closest so-called friends in football stab me in the back and twist the knife when they were done. So you can't look at things in a he said, she said type of manner. You have to look at it as what are the facts. The facts are Baker Mayfield has one heck of a release. The facts are, yeah, he may be undersized. Yeah, he may not look the part of a first overall NFL draft pick. But you're also starting to knock at my credibility when I said a year ago that Baker Mayfield would be the first overall draft pick in the NFL draft by the Cleveland Browns, and he would be one heck of an NFL quarterback. Now, you know, a lot of people disagreed with me. Oh, he's too short. They all said it then. But when you watch the man play, he's defying that. He's not defying the odds because Doug Flutie did it at 5'7". He drop kicked through the goalpost. He was one of the best quarterbacks, Pro Bowl quarterback. And then when they went with the larger lug in the pocket, he couldn't move. Rob Johnson, he went down time after time again in the playoffs, and they lost to the great Jacksonville Jaguars that year with Mark Brunell in the Music City Miracle, and they lost because they decided to bench the short guy for the playoff game, and it all came down to how fast they came off the corner, the quick linebackers of the Jaguars. You know, they were on Johnson quick, and Wade Phillips came and said it in Doug Flutie's A Football Life that he would have won that game. So, all in all, when it comes down to it, Colin Cowherd had no right to, you know, to really go there. But when it comes down to it, the New York Giants did not look like they were ready to play either. They never looked like they were ready to play preseason. He was going up against their second and third string, like Cowherd said. But for his first preseason debut with his new teammates and the tutelage he had under Lincoln Riley at University of Oklahoma, you know, honestly, he's definitely on the right track. to be a big-time NFL quarterback, no matter what Kyle Hurd says at ESPN, which brings me to Stephen A. Smith. You know, he was going off the other day about something. I wrote about it, but, you know, where is the credentials? Can you pull out a card for me or a resume that I was at the national championship game. I seen Jalen Hurts. He was just the worst quarterback to ever, blah, 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 blah. Well, he was coached by Kirby Smart. I think we already went into this in a radio episode, but, you know, Kirby Smart took the job at Georgia, knew everything about him, knew his tendencies, knew this, knew that. I mean, it's kind of not, you know, trigonometry. So, you know, there was guys like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Fran Tarkenton, Michael Vick. You know, what made them extremely hard to sack? They were very, very good athletes. They also possessed extremely quick releases, which Baker Mayfield also showed last night, especially on that throw he made down the seam in the second half. It was just pretty. It came out quick. He used his great body rotation, threw the ball with his total body. What were you saying about Flutie? Flutie throwing the ball with his body?
You always tell teach your quarterbacks to throw with their entire body. He does it to the point where he's actually lifting himself off the ground with how much power he has. It's the same thing that a lot of tennis players do nowadays. They, like, wind up as far back as they can, and then they just release all their power, and it gets to the point where you're literally lifting yourself off the ground with how much power you have.
Yeah, so that's kind of, you know, with Doug Flutie, he, like, you can see his film on here on the article I wrote. I'm about to attach the radio show to. He got a call from the Bills, and after playing in Canada and the USFL, had a great career. 5'7", five maybe. I think he was about 5'6". Yeah, and really threw the ball with great technique and had to use all of his body to get the ball down the field, and did that very well. Baker has a lot of the same instincts and mentality as him, moves in the pocket well, lets the play develop though, is not going to run first, you know, see an opening and just take off. He lets it develop. We'll get to his second and third reads. Very, very efficient passer, which is going to help him out in the NFL, in minimizing turnovers and things like that. That's been a problem with first-round NFL draft pick quarterbacks. I mean, we're not going to talk about Lane Kiffin again and bust on him even more, but he drafted Jamarcus Russell, or Al Davis drafted Jamarcus Russell the year before Lane got there. And, you know, big lug in the pocket, didn't do too well. You know, if you can't move and play quarterback, Peyton Manning was tall. He wasn't known for running, but if you watched his feet footwork in the pocket and you watched him move in the pocket, he had quick feet. All the quarterbacks have quick feet. You have to. If you don't have quick feet and you can't deliver the ball fast out of the pocket, then you're not going to be an NFL quarterback. Cam Newton's a good example of that. He sucks to me because he is more of a run-first quarterback. Cam Newton, in my opinion, is like a Tebow and should be playing tight end. I don't think they're quarterbacks. I thought Michael Vick was a quarterback. Michael Vick was sitting in the pocket way more than you thought, especially as his career stretched on and he had the Vick flick. I mean, it was one of the prettiest balls you were going to see. The list goes on and on and on. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, Baker's competition, he's got in camp, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion, skill-wise. So it's a big – it's only interesting, it's the competition, how it pans out. Totally switching positions, going into other, you know, not-so-behemoth guys that are dominating in the NFL today. Aaron Donald is only about 6 foot to 6'1", 280 pounds. One of the smallest D tackles in the NFL, and he's the number 7th overall best player on the top 100 this year on NFL.com. Very excited for him. He went to the University of Pittsburgh, where my father went, and
just has at Pitt, he had one of the fastest get offs. You know, he just get off the ball so quick. Great repertoire of finesse and power moves will really jack you up. But then once he gets to the quarterback, you know, he will bring him down. Great athleticism, can play in the play to run like a linebacker. They said they have one of the most diverse skill sets as a defensive player in NFL history, really, because there's not many 280-pound guys dancing in the hole, maneuvering, making running backs on – I mean, making tackles on running backs. So Todd Gurley said he is the perfect size for a football player. So what's funny to me is I don't think there is a perfect size. Now that I've analyzed this many ball players, probably – millions at this point, there is no perfect size. Now leverage does win, so the James Harrison Donald type body structure isn't too bad, I guess, in getting underneath a guy who's 6'6", 6'7" and really throwing him on his back, getting off the ball quicker before he can get out of his stance as a defensive lineman or D tackle. So that's why it's all about training your brain to be able to fire quicker, make your muscles fire quicker, make your mind think quicker. That controls where your next movement's going to be. So if we know how to master all that, then we're going to be, you know, Baker Mayfields or Aaron Donalds, no matter if they don't look like their first round overall draft picks, like Colin Cowherd said. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. That was probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard on ESPN, to be honest. I used to kind of like him. Now I don't like him at all. Same thing with Stephen A. Smith. I don't think they should be allowed to report on college football or football news because they have no credentials to back themselves up. Maddie has more credentials than them because she learned how to throw a football perfectly from the GOAT. And she could break down Baker Mayfield's technique better than you guys. So there's little things you look for that the Cleveland Browns obviously seen in him that they didn't see in everybody else. And they wanted to take him number one. That's their prerogative. That's their job. Yes, things have not gone great in Cleveland the past few years. But, you know, when they had a quarterback, Bernie Kosar, we have to go back a while, but the dog pound was live. I remember I was a Steelers fan. The Steelers did not like coming to the dog pound. I think Baker Mayfield and the cast of support that he's got around him in Cleveland this year is going to bring that dog pound back. I like the kid. I like his demeanor. I like his competitiveness. I think he's going to be a good leader for the Browns. I think Tyrod Taylor, if he doesn't start this year, he's going to end up getting a job somewhere too and being a great quarterback. So I think they got a good looking Cleveland this year. I think Colin Cowherd is a bona fide idiot, and he needs fired from ESPN. But that's not my prerogative either or my job. But you want to take the number one overall pick in the NFL, you know, it just shows you're trying to divide people for some reason or another and just yell and scream and rant. But people like rants today, so I guess it's just playing to what people want to hear. Stephen A. Smith, Jalen Hurts is the man. Great athlete, still going to be used this year no matter what. Ends up transferring, not getting the job, gets the job. Who cares? You know, let the kids live their lives, report on what they do great, and let's not talk about all their off-the-field stuff that, you know, they're kids. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to say stupid stuff in the media. They're going to, you know, act a certain way that you don't agree with. Well, you know, just deal with it. I noticed a lot of that reporting going on, too. It's whether or not that reporter likes that person. I don't know Baker Mayfield. I don't know him from Adam. He's at the Senior Bowl. I didn't get to talk to him while I was down there. I was too busy. I had an opportunity to actually go meet him and talk to him. I didn't have time. I'm trying to create another Baker Mayfield. I don't I don't really need to go do that. Like, it's not a big deal to me. He's Baker Mayfield. He could make it. He could not. It's all going to be up to him in the end. It's not going to be up to anybody else. You can be a really, really good quarterback on a bad team and still win games. Dan Marino did it. So I don't want to hear that either. I don't hear, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. Baker will step up. He'll find a way. And that's what I like about his skill set. That's what I like about him with the Browns. I think that overall, I hate to say it, like, because I, you know, the appearance of a big team always was like, the only time that it mattered was like before the game, before kickoff, when we'd look over and just be like, oh, they're big. Ooh. Like, after a while, we knew, because a lot of teams, at Hargrave, we were the biggest team. But, you know, other teams I played for, you know, we weren't, and we still won by a lot, a landslide usually, because we were stronger, faster, smarter, and just played with the overall more tenacity than the other team, and they couldn't handle it. So, my dad always said as a kid, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I took that, you know, as a philosophy of my own when I played, you know, outside linebacker, middle linebacker, DN, coming off the edge, blitzing and stuff. As long as you get under their pad level and keep pushing, they're going to fall. So learn where to put your hands, learn where to punch, learn where to hit, you know, learn where to, you know, snag on if you can, and then take them for a ride. But Aaron Donald is, James Harrison did it. They didn't complain about how small they were, their opportunities or stuff like that. They just went, watched film, lifted, and grinded. Nothing else, really. If you talk to either one of them, they don't do anything during football season. Nothing. Lift weights, eat, train, watch film. They're the best in the game. So y'all keep saying y'all want to be like that. Oh, you got to start doing the things that got those guys to that point, or you're just going to end up, like Colin Cowherd said, I thought it was a very ignorant thing to say. You'll be working at a supermarket like the rest of the players that Baker Mayfield was playing against. You don't know if those guys got degrees or not when they were in college. Cowherd, are you just assuming that they're just going to be working at a supermarket?
Super rude.
That was really rude. That was one of the most
really rude and disrespectful.
It's the most disrespectful comments I've heard to the generation of football players coming up, and you should take that offensively. Don't take it any other way. Take it. You know what? I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to make sure that I'm not going home after I get cut from the NFL and working at a supermarket. Because that's messed up, Colin Cowherd. That should get you fired right there.